take out your outline. We're looking at the greatest gift, and that greatest gift is Jesus Christ. Your Savior and Lord is my Savior and Lord, the Lord of the church, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. The great I am, Emmanuel, God with us. Aren't you glad to know Him? Aren't you glad He knows everything about you? Everything about every one of us. And He still loves us? Yes, and always will. Never forsake us. Never leave us. Never forget us. You may occasionally turn our back on Him. But He will never, never, never turn His back on us. He's always there with open arms. That's my Jesus. That's your Jesus, I pray it is. I pray He is. We're looking at the greatest gift, Jesus Christ, who keeps giving. The gift of His grace. We've looked at the gift of forgiveness. We've looked at the gift of fellowship. We've looked at the gift of forgiveness. We've looked at the gift of peace. We're going to look at the gift of hope. We all need hope. You probably remember that old adage, where there's life, there's hope. Oh, you do remember it, okay, yeah. You know, the world is they'll say that, but they'll never understand the true meaning of that statement. The complete statement is, and you and I need to know that so we can tell others, it's just not where there is life, biological life, that there is hope. But where there is life in Jesus Christ, there is always hope. And it's a living hope. That's what God tells us in His Word. He is the God of hope. And if you and I have a relationship with God as our Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord, and the ministry of the Holy Spirit within us, you are never, never without hope. For Jesus Christ is our hope. We need to know that. We need to share that. Not just at spaghetti dinner nights, but meaningfully, purposefully, prayerfully, with our loved ones, with our friends. There is a hope that men and women and boys and girls can have. Everybody, of course, they're rejoicing that there seems to be a resurgence of our economy, and they put their hope in that. What if the bottle falls out again? Do you still have hope? If you have Christ, you still have hope in all things. What if you have a heart attack? Do you have hope? Yes, you still have hope. If you have cancer, do you have hope? Yes. We can go on the whole list of there. But no matter the circumstance, no matter the situation, you and I will always have a living hope. Because we have a living Savior. Go and take a look at God's Word and take out your outline as we take a look at the gift of hope. I'm going to give you some homework if you don't mind, okay? But taking a look at the gift of hope, this is just a basic biblical definition of what hope is. It's an idea. I desire this. I hope this is so. No. It's a no-so hope because you know the one who is that hope, okay? Hope, that confident expectation and assurance in the fulfillment of God's promises and His gracious providence working in the lives of every believer in Jesus Christ. That's the hope that God speaks about in His Word. Not the hope of the world. It's not the hope of possessions. It's not the hope of your employment. For good health, or anything else. It's a hope that goes far beyond all those things that the world grasps and desperately holds on to and thinks that those are the things that give hope. They never will, never intended to, but in God there is hope. I want to take a look at the number of passages as we go through this, if you will, the gift of hope. Hope in the Scripture, the term is found 153 times. You think of that. Must be pretty important to God. Yes, because He's the God of all hope. And He wants His people, you and I, His children, Disciples of the Son, Jesus Christ, followers of Jesus. Not just raising hand, oh yes, I know Jesus. But those who are following the Lord Jesus, those who are truly born again, have that hope. That's the hope that God is talking about in this word. The hope of the Bible. Indicating that it's a significant element in the faith and life of every believer. Hope in Scripture is based on the character and nature of God and His faithful fulfillment of His promises. Therefore, hope is an essential part of the Christian faith and daily walk with the Lord. May this year, this coming year, 2019, be for all of us and every one of us individually, as well as for our families. May it be a great year of hope. The reason I say that is because there are a lot of people who are depressed. I met a fellow there yesterday, in the post office. How are you doing? Not so good. He's up and down all these past 3 months. We just stop by. We just have time to pray together. You know what he needs? He needs hope. But he needs a real hope. Kids are battling drug issues, addictions, battling home situations. They need hope. Marriages that are beginning to fragment, fall apart. They need hope. You and I know who that hope is. So may indeed this coming new year be a year of great hope. Great hope that you and I can be filled with all the time. You and I can build on and be strengthened in the life of hope. Take a look, if you will, as we go on. The words for hope in the Old Testament, we won't go over that. It's right there. You can read it. You can read it better than I can. I'm stumbling all over the words. True hope gives the disciple of Jesus Christ inner strength and confidence in the face of the most severe trials and sufferings. Whatever you and I will face this coming new year, only God knows. I don't know, and you don't know either. But I do know one thing, and you can know that too, and I'm sure you do, I pray you do, is that no matter what you go through this coming year, you have hope. You have hope that will sustain you, that will strengthen you. Hope that will give you that inner fortitude in Christ Jesus, that no matter what you face, no matter what you go through, when others are trying to give you a false sense of hope, you know already you have a living hope in Christ Jesus. Christ-centered confidence that Scripture promises, like Jeremiah and Romans, become burning lights in the times of darkness and strength in seasons of weakness. For these and all other promises are anchored in Christ alone. I find it interesting. I'm going to step over that now. That God uses many metaphors and illustrations for hope, both in experiences as well as that work of redemption that he had in the lives of his people. But I find it interesting that the writer of Hebrews also uses the term, if you will, or the imagery, that hope is an anchor. You know what an anchor does? Give you stability in times of storm, when you're in that boat or that ship. We have an anchor that is steadfast and secure and firm. That hope is like that anchor that's there in the heavens, in the Holy of Holies. That anchor for me, and I pray that anchor for you is Jesus Christ. Let's take a look at some passages here, because, you know, when we talk about hope, we need to remember that hope is so much more than a wish and a desire. It's knowing and completely trusting in Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. How do you strengthen and build on that living hope? I want to share some things this morning with you from God's Word. You have those portions of God's Word in your outline already. But I will be asking you, so get ready, I'll be asking you to open up your Bible. So have your Bible ready, or have a few Bible ready. You know, just like Jesus Christ gives us the gift of forgiveness, excuse me, just like Christians in Christ Jesus should be the most forgiving people, I believe that with all my heart. Christians in Jesus Christ should be the most loving people. They should be the most caring people. We could go on down the list. But they should be, and there's no reason you and I can't be the most hope-filled people. We live in a world and society right now that they're putting and hanging their hope on a lot of things that are not going to stay. That are not going to stay. That are not solid. But you and I have an anchor in the Holy of Holies, Jesus Christ the righteous one, your Savior, my Savior. And He is our hope. They need to hear that. They need to see it. Where are they going to hear it? Where are they going to see it? Except through your life and my life. So take it, if you will. How do you grow in hope? How do you build on hope? How are you strengthened in hope? Well, number one, just reflecting on, thinking about, meditating and contemplating on God's personal attributes. Because He is awesome. All the time. And always will be awesome. But one of the ways you and I can build on that living hope we have in Christ Jesus and be strengthened every day in that hope we have in Christ Jesus is reflecting on the personal attributes and character of God. Because the living hope rests on Him and Him alone. As is revealed in God's Word, the Bible, we need to be thinking about who He is. We need to be learning about who He is. We need to be knowing Him more fully so you and I can make Him more fully known. Amen? Is that your goal in life? Knowing Jesus more fully so you can make Him more fully known? If it is your goal in life, then you know all about what it is to grow hope. And you know all about what it means to be building on that living hope in Christ Jesus. But you know something? If that's not your goal, you're going to go from pillar to post, circumstance to circumstance, maybe doubt, maybe wonder, where's Jesus now? But if you were taking time, thinking about, contemplating, reflecting upon the eternal attributes of God, who He is, what He's done, reflected, if you will, revealed in the Bible of God's Word. Take a look, if you will, in Exodus. God's personal attributes and character. The Lord passed before him, before Moses. And the Lord, this is the Lord speaking, okay? Not an angel. The Lord, Moses recorded. The Lord, God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers of the children and the children's children, and to the third and fourth generation. I kept verse 7 in, because that's part of God's attributes. You see, because God is just, He's righteous, He's holy. He's not just loving and caring and good. He's all of that, and so much more. But for us really to understand the living hope that you and I have in Christ Jesus, we have to understand the full attributes, if you will, the full character of God. Now, even with the Word of God, if it's the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, we can't fully understand everything there is to understand about God. But what you and I can know and understand, we must know and understand so that we can make it known to others. How about your family members that aren't saved? How about mine? How about ours? How about our friends that don't know the Lord? We need to make Him known. The more we know Him, the more we can make Him known to others. What are the things that people need to know? My family, your friends, my friends, that there is a living hope that doesn't give up when cancer comes. There is a living hope that doesn't give up when there's a heart attack. That doesn't give up when there's a loss of a job. A living hope that keeps going and growing. We need to reflect on God's personal attributes. He is awesome. Revealed in God's Word. Here God is take a look at the Psalm 34. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. Psalm David. And God is inviting people through David in this psalm. And there's so many invitations in the Word of God. Come and see. Taste my goodness. Taste and see how much I love you. And know that there is a hope that is living, that is secure, that is firm, that will always last no matter what you're going through. There is invitation upon invitation upon invitation in the Word of God for you and I. Every day of our lives in God's Word. Again, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. It's interesting, in that psalm, Psalm 136, 26 times it says, His steadfast love endures forever. It's just so we get the point, you know? His steadfast love endures how long? A day. Whoops, something went wrong. No, forever. Forever. That word steadfast love, you know, and you should know by now, but we've said it a number of times. So the Hebrew word is said. Clearly, without a doubt, one of the closest Hebrew words to the word charis, or for grace, in the New Testament. God's grace never fails. God's grace is always there. And it manifests itself in many, many ways. His love, His care, His mercies, but also the hope that He gives. None of us who are in Christ Jesus can ever say we're in a hopeless situation. There is always hope. Revealed through His Son, Jesus Christ, the living Word. He's the ultimate revelation of God, isn't He? Yes, we have God's Word, but the ultimate revelation of God is in His Son, Jesus Christ. And the Word became flesh, John said. And before that, he said, in the beginning was the Word, the Word was with God, and the Word is God. And then he goes on to say, that word that I'm talking about, He has another name. His name is Jesus. He has another name. Emmanuel, the God who is always with you. He has another name. Hope. The God of hope. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory. Glory is of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, He has made Him known. And then again, Jesus Christ talking to His disciples, I and the Father are what? Again, speaking to the disciples, specifically to Philip. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. And how can you say, show us the Father? Knowing God is an essential part for experiencing and delighting in that hope that He gives. Knowing Him, for He is faithful. Knowing Him, for He is awesome. Let me just give you a challenge. If you've never read the book Knowing God, written by J.I. Packer, you might want to write that down. Knowing God by J.I. Packer. That's a good read. It'd be a great book for you to make a plan to read this year, 2019. It's titled Knowing God. Knowing God, written by J.I. Packer. It will encourage you to get into the Word of God and to study and to learn and to know God more fully. But not only, if you will, in building and seeing that hope that you and I have in Christ Jesus being strengthened in our personal experience day by day, we need to remember God's covenants and His promises. Take a look, if you will. His covenants with His people. Do you realize that there are eight major covenants? Now, there are other covenants too that are expressed in the Word of God, especially in the Old Testament. But there are eight great covenants. A covenant like the Noahic covenant, when God made a covenant with humanity through Noah. Or if you go to the Edenic covenant, when God set a covenant with Adam and Eve after the fall for all of humanity. Or the Abrahamic covenant, where God set Abraham apart and is going to bless the seed of Abraham, not just the nation that would be coming from his loins, but that one seed, Jesus Christ. The Abrahamic covenant. You have the Davidic covenant. Oh, there are eight covenants. And this morning, you and I are going to be sharing and we're going to be participating in the new covenant. We're reminded by taking that bread and that cup that you and I are participants in the new covenant. So it's not just reflecting on the attributes of God that will strengthen and deepen that hope that you have in Christ Jesus every day of your lives and my life,
but also remembering how faithful God is to His covenants and His promises.
There in your outline before you, there are many promises that God has literally given us, hundreds of promises in His Word for you and I that He wants to fulfill. Take a look what Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. His divine power, whose? God's, not Peter's. God's divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Well, how can I appropriate? How can I see the all that I have in Christ Jesus for life and godliness? Well, let's take a look. To the knowledge of Him, do you know Him? Knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great what? Promises. So that through them, the promises, you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. And so what he's saying, hope. He's saying, fulfill hope. That's a meaningless thing to me. I need something that I can bite on. Figuratively speaking, okay? Well, brother, sister, if you're facing a situation either personally or in your marriage or in your family, even your extended family, and you don't have hope, you'll not be any help to them, let me tell you right now. Chances are, if it's a division in your marriage or their marriages or in their families, without this hope that you can give them in Christ Jesus, you'll probably just take sides. That's all. And you know something? They don't need someone to take sides. They need hope. They need hope that that marriage can be rebuilt. That marriage can be restored. And it can be! By the grace of God. For there is hope. I'm going to give you a verse to memorize this year. I want you to memorize it. I want you to hide it in your heart and treasure it there. Because it's a hope verse. Okay? We'll get to it, but I'm giving you a forewarning ahead of time, okay? Alright. So remember God's covenants and promises. He is faithful, and they are precious promises to us. And He gives us many others. There are hundreds of promises that you and I can claim, and must claim for His glory. Must claim for life and godliness in Jesus Christ. Rest in God's providence and His purpose. That's the third thing, if you will. He is gracious and loving. Trust in Him. He is altogether trustworthy. Trust in Him. Take a look. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. If you haven't memorized this verse, these are great verses. Two things you can memorize. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Not just half. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. And He, as it says here, He will make your straight, your path straight. Oh, I need that kind of hope. I need that kind of hope that I can trust in Him. I can rely upon Him. Because I know He's trustworthy. And whatever I'm going through individually, or together with my wife, or with our family, or with my church family, I have hope. A hope that is steadfast and secure. A hope that you and I can sing about. Because of Christ. But not just sing about it. Live in the very essence of that hope from day to day. God's gracious providence is at work in your life, in our lives. And in that gracious work of His providence, He gives you and I a hope that this is not the last chapter. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for wholesome, the word there is shalom, to bring about, if you will, your life being blessed by the shalom, the peace of God that will be so integrated in God's plan and providence for you. When He says, I know the plans that I have for you, not for evil, but to give you a future. And take a look, what does He say there? What does He say? All together, what does He say? A future and a what? A hope. You know why God says
so much about hope.
Is that something that's just wishful? But it's something that's solid. Solid like an anchor. And God has so much to say about hope because He knows that we need it. You need it. I need it. We need it.
Take Him at His word. Study it, apply it, obey it. Take a look at Romans chapter 8, verses 20 through 30. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. Well, that gives me hope. Because I love Him. And I know that I'm called to bring His purpose in the gospel of the Son, Jesus Christ. And you do too. And so you meet that requirement. You're a child of God. You say it. You're a child of God. Not because you say it, but because you're Savior. Amen? And He says, all things will work together for good. For those who are called according to His purpose, and for those whom He foreknew, He predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom He predestined, He also called. And those whom He called, He also justified. And those whom He justified, He also glorified. What's God saying? He has a plan for your life. He has a plan for His church. And you and I can go every day. Excuse me. And through every day with hope that plan, that purpose, He's going to fulfill. And He's in the process of fulfilling that in your life, in my life, in our life together as a church family. So that indeed we can say, oh Lord Jesus, make this coming new year a year of great hope that I can not only live and experience, but that I can share with my loved ones, that I can share with my friends, because they need that hope. That hope that I have in you. Excuse me. Now here it comes. Your memory verse. Romans chapter 15. Can you turn there? Romans chapter 15. Romans 15 verse 13. Verse 13. Romans 15 verse 13. I want to challenge you, as your pastor, but also as your brother in the Lord, one who shares that same living hope as Jesus Christ, one who's going to be going through this new year with a heart filled with hope in Christ Jesus, confident expectation in Him. Let's read that verse together, if you will. Romans 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. Is hope necessary? You better believe it is. Is hope necessary for your sons, your daughters? Yes. Is hope necessary for your neighbor? Absolutely. No, I haven't had near neighbors, like next door neighbors. But I've had neighbors up here in this mountain that have overdosed and died without hope. Have you? I've had family members and friends who battled cancer without hope. Have you? I've had friends who had heart attacks, and they faced the next day without hope. Do you have family members and friends like that? I feel as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, one thing I need to convey to my family members, my loved ones, my church family, my friends, that there really is a hope that is steadfast and secure. A hope that is in Christ Jesus. A hope that will also manifest with itself that joy, that peace, that abounding work of the Holy Spirit when they come to know Jesus. You realize, I hope you realize, one of the reasons for having a spaghetti meal on January 17th at 6 o'clock is to share that hope with others. That hope in Christ. Would you make Romans 15, verse 13 a memory verse for you this year? Would you? Put it on a little card. Put it on the mirror there in the bathroom. When you look at yourself, you can look at the verse. Put it in your car. Paraphrase it. Romans 15, verse 13. But I want to give you something else. Part of building, strengthening, and hope that we have in Christ Jesus is reflecting on the attributes of God, remembering His covenants and His promises. One way we can do that is being in the Word of God. We have a number of these Bible reading plans. Do you have a plan to read the Bible? I don't mean just on Sundays. Do you have a plan to read the Word of God this coming new year? Would you incorporate into that plan before God that you will read through the Word of God, you'll read through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation? That by the end of 2019, you'll have read the entire Word of God. This little page here is a good mechanism to get us into reading the Word of God. We have many copies out there in the lobby, there on the two tables. So I want to encourage you. If you're here and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, let me say this. Don't be deceived and don't deceive yourself that you don't need this hope. Because if you're reaching out for something else other than Jesus Christ for a hope that will get through this coming year, through all the circumstances and situations and failures and various other things, without Jesus Christ, whatever you think is that hope without Christ, it's going to fall apart. Pray with me. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the gift of hope in your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Heavenly Father, you are the God of all hope, and our hope is in Christ, your Son. Help us, Father, to live in the full experience, the full joy of that hope, that we can not only just experience ourselves, but we can share that with others, our loved ones, our friends, within our church family, encouraging each other all the more as we see the day of the Lord approaching. That blessed hope, the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, thank you. Thank you for the living hope we have in Him. We ask you to guide and direct us now, Father, in the continuation of our service and celebration. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.